This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Later this hour, we're joined by Dr. Bill Mitch. He's an eminent scholar and director of FGCU's Everglades Wetland Research Park. He'll be giving a free lecture tomorrow night called Investigating the Causes and Mitigation of Harmful Algal Blooms, including Red Tide in South Florida. It's at the Harvey Kapnick Education and Research Center at the Naples Botanical Garden. We'll get a preview of that a little later in the show. But first, the Dunbar Festival Committee in Fort Myers is kicking off a series of events this weekend celebrating the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. The first, called From Podiums to Pulpits, Activists for Change, is this Saturday evening at 6 p.m. at the Dunbar Community School in Fort Myers. It's a showcase featuring performers and entertainers who will honor Dr. King's legacy and highlight other national and local civil rights activists who have worked for change. They will do this through dance, music, and verse. We're joined in studio today by the director of the show, Sonia McCarter, who's also Community Engagement Coordinator at the Alliance for the Arts in Fort Myers. Sonia, welcome to the show, and thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much, Julie.
We're also joined by one of the actors who will be performing on Saturday evening, Derek Lively. He's a playwright and equity actor. Derek, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
And last but not least, we're joined by the Dunbar Festival Committee Chair, Martin Bird. Martin, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you as well.
It's great to have everybody in the room. And as always, we invite you to join our conversation. The number to call is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag GCL. So, Martin, I want to start with you. Tell me a little bit about the Dunbar Festival Committee.
Okay, so the Dunbar Festival Committee is kind of what it says is in its name. It is kind of a organization, a volunteer organization that comes together. We plan mainly two events. The first one, the one we're here to talk about today, the Dr. Martin Luther King Legacy Weekend celebration, and the Dunbar Easter Parade. Both these events are largely rooted in the Dunbar community, though they have outspread it throughout the county and even the area.
So how long has it been around?
Okay, so the Dunbar, the MLK celebration has been going on since the early 80s. A year before it was declared a national holiday by President Reagan. And the Easter celebration has been going on for over 70 years.
Well, that's got some history then.
Yeah, it came from kind of the people in the community not feeling wanted as part of the Edison Festival Light Parade. There was some disdain. There was some – and people felt like they – well, they were made to feel like they weren't welcome.
There was a lot more division.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
You're in that time in some people – we don't always think of Florida as the Deep South, but it is the Deep South in many ways.
Yeah.
Here. So not feeling part of the parade and not feeling the community was getting proper respect and honor. Ms. Evelyn Sams Kennedy founded the Dunbar Easter Parade as an opportunity to honor the kids, show forth the organizations and the community organizations.
Like, fine, we'll just do our own thing.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. If we're not welcome there, we'll...
So we're going to do our own thing because our kids are going to get out there and celebrate. So.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that completely makes sense. So we're going to highlight some of next week's weekend's events a little bit later in the show. But I want you to tell me a little bit more now about this Saturday's production, which is the one that's called From Podiums to Pulpits, Activists for Change. How did that come about?
So we began discussing with Alliance for the Arts how we over a year ago of how we could kind of do more together in the community. We've had some discussions and a play came out to us about that were being done in another area. Reached out to Sonia and she said she looked at it and she was like, I think we can do something like this here. And she did. She worked her magic. She put together the play, and we just had to organize the place and time and get the word out. So it's just a great partnership between the Dunbar Festival Committee and the Alliance of the Arts.
Yeah. So, Sonia, it sounds like it's a great time to turn and talk to you about putting this play together. This is a play that exists. And
no, it's not a play.
Okay.
It's more of a production or presentation. It has a lot of different parts to it.
So are the bones of it already something that's been done in other places?
No.
No. Okay.
The bones of it. So we want to celebrate the activists throughout history themselves, the various activists. So what we're doing is we're piecing together different speeches from these activists. I'll be the first one to admit that I learned about Frederick Douglass. I knew a lot about him, but I never read what he wrote or what he spoke about. And when I read one of his speeches, I was blown away. I was blown away by this this eloquent speaker who got right to the heart of the problem, and you couldn't refute what he was saying. So I was like, we want to honor those words. We want to honor what actually helped to bring about change. So it's a night of song. It's a night of music. It's a night of dance, but it's also a night of speeches from various people like Frederick, Dr. King, Sojourner Truth. We have some Maya Angelou. So we just have a lot of different speeches that are going to be powerful.
So you have people here locally then that are getting up there and performing this?
Yes. Yes, we do. A lot of local participants. We have some kids from the Quality Life Center who are going to come in and dance. We have the Soul Eaters dance troupe. We have Derek and Patricia who are equity actors. We also have violinist Luna
Mooney.
Yes, yes, she will be coming in. So it's just a compilation of different things, different people coming together to celebrate.
It sounds like so. How long is it going to run? Maybe a couple hours.
Yeah, about an hour and a half. It's not going to be too long.
It sounds incredibly interesting. I mean, so have you been watching the rehearsals take place and taking in when – does it feel different seeing things being said out loud rather than reading it?
Yes, it does. Yes, it
does. I mean, I'm thinking that might have a pretty huge impact.
Yes. I have been rehearsing with, you know, individual performers, and we have a couple of student performers who will be performing speeches from local activists like Veronica Shoemaker and some from L.R. Sears, who was a funeral director here in the Dunbar community, and just working with them. And it's been inspirational. And that's what we want. We hope for the entire night that you would leave inspired, but also challenged. So, yes, it's been wonderful seeing it come to life.
Well, it's kind of cool that it's not just the national figures that we've all known and heard from, or maybe read, or maybe just recently read, but also local leaders.
Yes, yes. Because, I mean, and one of the reasons why I decided to include that is the fact, that Lee County was one of the last counties to desegregate their schools. And it's one of these counties that unfortunately is still kind of segregated when we look at the, you know, the housing situation. So I felt that it was important to honor those who've been fighting for change right here. Some that we most know, but some that we may not know about. So, yeah, I thought that was very important to do.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that. A lot of people are almost scared to say it out loud, but there are definitely boundaries of here's where this is and here's where that is.
Yeah.
And it still exists to this day, even though it's not spoken out loud.
It is.
Right. So I want to turn now to you are the actor that is taking on some of these roles.
I'm the actor.
Yeah. We were talking before we got on the air. I was like, you're the one that's not nervous, right? He's like, come on, just a little bit. So you're doing Frederick Douglass?
Yes.
How do you know what Frederick Douglass sounds like?
Well,
are there any recordings of him?
There are no recordings of Frederick Douglass.
Because it was before that, right?
It was before that. Yeah.
So how would you – do you kind of imagine what his voice would have sounded like? Or like what his accent might have been and how he might have articulated himself?
I think the danger is trying to come up with an accent or how he sounds.
Yeah.
So that becomes a danger because then you start getting in your head that, okay, he needs to sound like this instead of letting yourself discover who that person is. And then letting the sound come from that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that along the way, I because I'm doing him in another production, so I think in a way that I'm starting to find who he is and his voice without putting it on beforehand. He must sound like this. So Frederick has to sound like this and he has to be very clear. And he's got to be someone who is of history as opposed to finding this is the way that Frederick Douglass might talk.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
But, yeah, I know what you're saying because we know what Martin Luther King Jr. sounded like.
Sure.
Right.
Sure.
And but I can play it in my head right now. I'm definitely not going to try to impersonate it because I'm pretty sure I'm not an actor.
And the thing is, as an actor, you never want to impersonate someone.
Right. Yeah, you have to kind of like become that person, sort of.
You never really become another person. You find yourself in that person. So it's kind of a paradox and it's counterintuitive. But the more that you say I'm going to become someone, the more you do not become that person. The more that you say I'm going to find
you become your perception of that person.
You become your perception of that person.
Right.
The more that you say I'm going to find myself in that person and what links our common humanity, then you discover who that person is along with yourself.
So how much research did you do on Frederick Douglass? Because as you said, you're doing it for this performance. It's coming up this Saturday. But what's the other thing that you're doing?
The Agitators, which is going to run at the Alliance for the Arts and Theater Conspiracy January 17th through the 27th, Thursday through Sunday.
Okay. Now, I don't want to put you on the spot, but do you have anything? Have you memorized your things? Can you give us a little bit of your Frederick Douglass?
Well, I'm not, I don't have anything from the play, so I can't give you anything from the play, but I do have an excerpt here.
Yes.
So, yeah. Can you do that for us?
Sure. So this is actually something that we're going to do in the show on Saturday, and this particular speech is it was at a 4th of July commemoration. So Frederick Douglass was asked to speak at a 4th of July celebration, and their slavery was still very much the law of the land at the time. So this was his address at that particular time. What to the American slave is the 4th of July? I answer, a day that reveals to him, more than all other days in the year, the gross injustice and cruelty to which he is the constant victim. To him, your celebration is a sham. Your boasted liberty and unholy license, your national greatness, swelling vanity. Your sounds of rejoicing are empty and heartless. Your denunciations of tyrants, brass-fronted impudence, your shouts of liberty and equality, hollow mockery. Your prayers and your hymns, your sermons and thanksgivings, with all your religious parade and solemnity, are to him more bombast, fraud, deception, impiety, and hypocrisy. A thin veil to cover up crimes which would disgrace a nation of savages. There's not a nation on earth guilty of practices more shocking and bloody than are the people of these United States at this very hour. Fellow citizens, I will not enlarge further on your national inconsistencies. The existence of slavery in this country brands your republicanism as a sham, your humanity as a brass pretense, and your Christianity as a lie. It destroys your moral power abroad. It corrupts your politicians at home. It saps the foundations of religion. It makes your name a hissing and a byword for a mocking oath. It is the antagonistic force in your government, the only thing that seriously disturbs and endangers your union. It fetters your progress. It is the enemy of improvement, the deadly foe of education. It fosters pride. It breeds insolence. It promotes vice. It shelters crime. It is a curse to the earth that supports it. And yes, you cling to it as if it were the sheer arm anchor of your hopes. Oh. Be warned! Be warned! A horrible reptile is coiled up in your nation's bosom. The venomous creature is nursing at the tender breast of your youthful republic. For the love of God, test away and fling from you the hideous monster and let the weight of 20 million crush and destroy it forever.
Frederick Douglass.
I've had goosebumps for the whole time. So that was a pretty good... So they invited him to give this speech at the 4th of July celebration. Yeah. And there they are having a picnic or whatever. Did they expect that?
No. he was a pretty remarkable man. I think doing my research of him, he was literally a literary genius. So when I looked at the writings of Dr. King, if you look at President Obama, I honestly, if you compare them, I hate to compare anyone, but they're not even in the same ballpark as Mr. Douglass. In terms of his brilliance, in terms of his literary, his just the way that he was as an orator, just what he did and went through. I mean, this is a man who I think everyone should read his narrative of his when he was a slave, because he talks eloquently about being a little boy and all the little boys being fed by someone throwing a pan of cornbread on the floor, and all the kids had to run and grab pieces of cornbread and eat like pigs. That's the way he grew up, seeing his aunt bloodied and beaten with blood tearing out of her as the white slave master beat her. He didn't go to Harvard. He didn't go to Morehouse. He learned how to read and write from other kids, white kids. Then at his own peril, he learned and kept learning how to read. It took him many, many years how to read and write.
But he continued at his own peril.
Yes,
because
he did.
A speech like that, when people aren't expecting it and you're just at a regular old 4th of July celebration coming out, those are not shy words.
He hadn't technically gained his freedom at that point. So wherever he was still a fugitive. So I believe it was a few years later he actually bought and purchased his freedom because he became a rather wealthy man during his lifetime.
So then I've got to ask you, when you're doing this on the stage, how does it feel to be able to convey this level of power from history to kids today and to people today?
I think you make it relevant to their own existence right now and to their own lives, even though the struggle and the battle is different. But there is still a common humanity of and a common link of where am I in this republic and who am I in this republic and what is my place in this republic? So I think that that becomes a common thread.
Well, I feel like there are a lot of unanswered questions.
But regarding Mr. Douglas?
Regarding where people are in the republic to this day.
I think so, yeah. I think so, yeah.
So I feel like these words can, you know, kind of resonate in a modern era as yeah. well. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes.
I'm seeing nods
yeah.
around
yeah,
the room.
Definitely.
Of course.
I'm just kind of throwing that out there. But this is going to be very powerful, this on stage, and then coupled with all of the other things that are going to be accompanying it. You know, I want to remind everybody this is Saturday night, January 12th. How many seats do you have? I'm concerned now because this
I'm thinking
it could get a little crowded.
300?
Yeah, I think it's 285.
285?
Somewhere around there.
Have you been taking RSVPs or are you just everybody coming?
No, it's open to everyone. It's open. So it's free to the public and just show up early to get in.
Yeah.
Yeah. It starts at what time?
6.
6 o'clock. So probably get there about 4:30. Just to make sure you get a decent seat. If you're just joining the show today, I'm talking with Sonia Carter from the Alliance for the Arts, Martin Bird from the Dunbar Festival Committee, and equity actor Derek Lively. We're talking about the first of a series of events this month celebrating the life of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. From Podiums to Pulpits, Activists for Change is a stage production that's featuring monologue songs and dance numbers that highlight various national and local civil rights activists throughout history who have worked for change. This is coming up this Saturday evening at the Dunbar Community School in Fort Myers. If you'd like to join our conversation, give us a call now at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCO. So, Sonia, can you talk a little bit about the direction Bill Taylor, who is the founder and producing artistic director of the Theater Conspiracy at the Alliance, the direction that he's gone in recent years in terms of trying to produce more shows featuring actors of color?
I applaud Bill Taylor because he looked at his audience. He looked at what was being presented, not only on his stage, but the stages within the community and said, we can do better. We can do more to represent the community in which we live. So he was the first one to take a group of community actors and put on For Colored Girls when the what is the title? For Colored Girls When the Sun Is Not Enough?
I can't remember. For Colored Girls Who Committed Suicide When the Rainbow Was
Not Enough. There you go. And so you have 8 African-American women who are on the stage telling their stories. And he looked at that and he said, you know what, we have to keep going. We have to do more. We have to be more representative. So the Alliance for the Arts as well. They did the same thing. It was one of the reasons why I was hired there is because we looked at our audience. We want to integrate more. We looked at the plays that we are producing. We want to be more inclusive of minorities and their stories and give them opportunities to express themselves artistically. So I applaud them.
Mm-hmm. And speaking about the response to artistic, I'm going to ask you as one of the organizers with the festival committee, have you seen people responding in kind in the community to being represented more in the arts in the area?
I think there's a huge community out there that wants to get involved, but there hasn't typically been those outlets and they haven't typically been exposed. But as organizations such as the Alliance and more organizations that are grassroots continue to spring up in the community, you'll see those talents and those on-ramps for the artistic industry, for lack of a better word.
As far as it's like presence in people's lives, yeah. You know, you hardly even know that it's even available, community yeah. theater type things or anything like that. Or even if it is, it's somewhere else for mm-hmm. someone else.
Yeah. I mean, I think the most exposure to that would be like a quality of life center they always have that yeah. kind of inserted in their productions. the Lions is kind of outside of the central community. You have Florida Rep, which is downtown, but
like geographically different places.
Yeah, it's just not something you would walk down the street and see.
Yeah. So it may seem like geographically out of reach, but culturally less so at this point.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Derek, I'm introducing you as an equity actor. What does that mean?
That basically means I'm a professional actor.
So okay. What is the equity part?
So the equity part is all professional actors belong to really one or two unions or both.
Okay.
So if you are a film actor and you're a professional film actor, you're in the Screen Actors Guild or the American Federation of Radio Broadcasting. And and if you're a stage actor and you're a professional actor, you're a member of the Actors Equity Association. They're pretty much basically unions.
Oh, okay.
So all actors, whether it's Brad Pitt or whether it's myself, we're all members of unions. We're all members of the same union pretty much.
Okay. And you're here locally?
Yeah.
You're here all the time?
Yeah. I moved here about four years ago.
4 years ago?
Yeah. I moved here from New York City.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
It's a lot slower pace of life. Slightly less crowded.
It's slightly less crowded, yes.
Although it's getting more crowded every day. Martin, I want to turn back to you now. Tell me a little bit more about some of the other events that are happening over the weekend.
All right. So one thing I've tried to work at is expanding the events. We've called it a weekend, but it's branching out over a couple of weeks. So, of course, we start off with the Podium to Pulpit event on this Saturday. And then next weekend, we start back up with our gala. It's what we call our Hall of Fame gala. We honor, just like Sonya did in the production, we look at local individuals who have served the community and worked hard in their profession to either serve the community or serve, just show a level of service that Dr. King talked about. And so we're honoring four individuals this year as well as two other individuals that are currently working. Then that's Saturday. Sunday is our ecumenical service. The point of that service was that started in the late 80s as well, was to bring individuals across religions together for a service. Dr. King being a pastor, but not stopping with Christianity, saying Muslim, Jews, Buddhists, whatever. We can come together and show a united front. And then, of course, that Monday is Dr. Martin Luther King Day. We do a commemorative march. One thing of the founders of the organization thought was important was to, just like the production, is kind of bring back that feel of the marches, whether it's Selma in Memphis, wherever it was, to bring back that feel to the current time. Old hymns, old chants. And it leads, as I talked to the founder of the march, across the tracks. And you say that purposely into Centennial Park for the park celebration.
Those tracks were kind of – they were quite the literal dividing line for quite some time.
Yeah, my great-grandma would say that the tracks kept what was White Town and Black Town separate.
They really did. And there was a curfew. Like people had to get back. We learned a little bit more about the history of the old Atlantic Coastline Railway Depot in downtown Fort Myers earlier last week, I think it was, or earlier this week, actually. It stood really as a symbol of racial segregation all the way up until the early 70s when it was closed. Mm-hmm. So we were late to that. It's now a symbol of equality as the Southwest Florida Community Foundation's collaboratory. And I'm wondering, I guess we could all speak to this one. How do you feel that the community is doing in 2019 when it comes to being inclusive? Do we feel like we're getting somewhere?
Man.
I
don't put that right on the spot. Well, you got to talk about
it. That is on the spot. Look, it's better, but it is not where it should be. I just feel that Lee County in general is – we're so far behind in so many areas when it comes to cultural inclusion than some of your larger cities. And I can't even say than some of your larger cities because Fort Myers, Cape Coral, this area is large. It's getting larger. And it just seems that we still have this pocket of people who are suffering injustices, and it shouldn't be. So, yeah, it's better in a lot of ways, but we still have a very long way to go.
Mm-hmm. And Derek, you've only been here for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Four years. What's been your impression?
Wow.
Were you surprised to see the area being more behind? Was it as behind as you expected? Or
No, I wasn't surprised. I actually grew up in Ivor, Virginia, so it was a town of basically 480 people. So my family was the only family who had property on one side of a track. and on the other side was the white side of the track.
What is with railroad tracks?
So literally, like, we had property and so on and so forth, and my family got it for really pretty much after slavery ended and going into the Jim Crow era. But I think as an outsider looking in, and I would never, ever speak to anything going on in Dunbar because I don't live there, so I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I just know of the places that I've been in my own life and experiences that I've had. I think that there's room for a lot of growth here. There's an incredible amount of potential if it's realized and if it's basically if there's a concerted effort to make it happen. So I think that it can happen. I mean, I was – basically, where I live, I live in Bonita, and when I first moved around there, it was kind of like people were looking at me, kind of my wife and I, kind of like, oh, what are you doing here? But little in the community I live, I had, you know, people of color who were doctors, who, you know, one person moved and she's working at Facebook now, so there are African American professionals coming in, as well as Hispanic professionals. Mm-hmm. So it started to become where people are starting to come here. Once millennials, once professionals start to come here of color, then they will demand, in addition to the people who are already here, for there to be a positive change. But that change has to be identified. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in other words, you have to be very specific about what the change is that you seek. Frederick Douglass wanted to abolish slavery. Dr. King wanted to end segregation. What is it now that we're trying to achieve?
So, and that's probably going to be a whole nother show.
That's a whole nother show.
That's going to be a whole nother show. And Martin's like, oh, thank goodness you didn't make it. Martin, you're off the hook. Unless you had something you wanted to say.
No, I mean, this area suffers from a couple things. He lives in Bonita. So Bonita's issues are different than Fort Myers. Mm-hmm. So like a part of that will be, we talked about housing, where those people that move here decide to stay. Mm-hmm. So whether Dunbar, which is honestly becoming a word for minorities, honestly, because the Dunbar community itself is changing and kind of moving around the area, whether it changes what we think is Dunbar defines where they stay and what they care about, back to the point of what will I change? And we have issues, people moving here. Right. You have people that I've been here. I'm a Floridian. I'm Florida cracker. we're slow about this.
I thought that when I first saw you. All right. Well, that's all the time that we have for this part of the show, but I really want to thank my guest, Sonia McCarter. She's a community engagement coordinator for the Alliance for the Arts and director of the show From Podiums to Pulpits, Activists for Change, which is the first of a series of events that are part of the 2019 Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Legacy Weekend, or week, actually, we should say right now, stretching all the way into next Monday. Sonia, thanks so much for being here today.
Thank you for having us.
I also want to thank Martin Bird. He's the chair of the Dunbar Festival Committee. Martin, thanks for your time.
It was a pleasure.
And candidness, everyone. I also want to thank playwright and equity actor Derek Lively, who's going to be performing this Saturday. Thanks for that sneak peek earlier, too.
You're welcome.
From Podium to Pulpits, Activists for Change is coming up this Saturday, January 12th at 6 p.m. at the Dunbar Community School in Fort Myers. You can find a link to it and the other events that are coming up next weekend, including the Legacy Honors Gala at the Sydney and Vern Davis Art Center and the MLK Day Celebration Commemorative March on our website, gulfcoastlive.org. When we return, we're joined by FGCU eminent scholar Dr. Bill Mitch to get a preview of his free lecture tomorrow night on the causes of the harmful algal blooms that have hammered Southwest Florida's waters over the past year. I'm Julie Glenn, and you're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.